As I mentioned before the break, we're bringing Teacher Feature back. Of course, in August, a lot of folks out and about and busy, but we are pleased to welcome in studio our first one officially for the school year. I mentioned before the break, his name is Paul Summers, and he is a history teacher teaching sixth graders currently at Susan B. Anthony Middle School in Minneapolis. Welcome, Paul.
Welcome. Thank you.
Good to have you here. First, let's start with exactly where you started doing this. How far back do you go with teaching? How long have you been doing it, I guess?
Oh, about 20 years. Started way back in New York City right after college and taught mm-hmm. alternative high school in New York City for a couple of years.
Okay. And it sounds like you have been around the world a few times, too. You taught in Oxford, is that right, going back?
I taught in New York City, then taught in Brazil, and then Oxford
okay.
for a little bit, yeah.
So how did you come to be involved doing that? Did you were these well,
they have a pretty cool program or? That's supported through government of going on a Fulbright teacher exchange. And I changed jobs with a lady in Oxford. She came and took my job at Anthony, and I took her job in Oxford.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
Kind of like a student exchange, but
it's exactly
teachers.
What it was. I mean, unfortunately, they didn't exchange salaries. They just exchanged jobs. So kind of got beat on the exchange.
Because the cost of living is a little higher over there, right?
Two to one.
Did that include living arrangements, too, or did you have to come up with
you
that?
You could do that, but she was a single woman. And we're coming into a house for four, and she wanted more of the uptown feel, and we live over by Minnehaha Falls. So.
Okay. So how long have you been teaching in Minneapolis?
I started 2000, I think, so about 10 years.
Okay. Yeah. And did you start, have you always done history, or did you start with a different discipline? Or
in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. only history, but in when I first came up to, I've only been in the cities for about 13, 14 years, and when I came up here, I taught at a private school in Bloomington and taught English and computers.
Okay.
So.
Now, do you have a different, a lot of people that come in on this, they have a different focus. It's not always a sort of a conventional way of looking at their particular programs. Is that true for you? Do you have you come up with creative ways of teaching history or?
Well, you know, I mean, the more you're in Minneapolis, the more they say they have, you know, work with kids to learn, get kids talking about what they're learning more. So the last years we focused a lot on kids presenting, kids doing more talking to each other about what they're learning, creating projects, podcasts, things like that. But one of the things I guess that I don't know if it's not unique to me, but one of the spirits I live in is I kind of go in terms of the more we can connect what we're doing with history in our classroom, outside our classroom, the more important it is for me. And if we're not connecting what we're learning in the class to the kids' lives, then I'm not sure why we're doing it. So that what that looks like in my class is we do a lot of service projects.
Okay.
So I've been doing some service learning mentoring in the district and outside for the last, six, 7 years.
Okay. Can you elaborate on that a bit? Service learning might be doing volunteer work, or what are we talking about?
Well, you know,
here?
It's a little deeper than that. And I think that if you look at the spectrum of service projects, you have the community service that might be a volunteer, clean up a lake, serve food at a soup kitchen, and all those are great things to do. The service learning bit is how do you connect all that with what you're studying in the classroom?
Sure. How do you connect it with history?
Okay. Exactly. So we might be looking at current issues around the environment. Minnesota, last year, Minnesota, our focus was Minnesota as an agricultural state. So we started with the history of agriculture from subsistence farming in the 1800s to industrialized agriculture of today mm-hmm. to alternative agricultural practices in our terms of organic farming and smaller time practices, and then looked at all those things and said, how is this related to what we eat in our classrooms or in our lunchrooms? And we looked at those, and I think you got the current push towards healthy lifestyles, towards obesity, education, and things, diabetes. So kids took all that and said, what do we want to do for our project? So one of the things, kids made podcasts, they made a couple classes, made videos, but one class wanted to create a garden.
Oh, like so a on community campus, garden? Or
exactly.
Okay, sure.
At Anthony over the summer, in the spring, kids actually built the garden, and then over the summer they signed up to take care of it, and then the food was donated to Sabathany Center.
Oh, wow.
On 38th, and there's still stuff going into it. So we have our fall squashes that are growing and still some watermelons growing and things like that.
So they learned about the history of agriculture in Minnesota. They learned going back to the 1900s and the mm-hmm. early 1800s or whatever, and then brought those skills into the present day farming? Or
exactly.
Okay.
And I think for them it was just like the more connection we can make to what the food process is.
Okay.
So we did, I mean, we were in 1870, we were in 2010 looking at things like you know, I think there was King Corn was a movie going on for a while, and
sure.
we're looking at some of those back and forth, and what's our role in it? And I think that for me is the big question of asking kids, what is my place in that community?
Mm. Corporate farming and things like that. I imagine they probably learned a few lessons there. How that's simply not the same, huh?
Huge. And I think some of the image, I think, especially now, than difference in 10, 20 years ago, there's so many images out there that kids can access and say, oh my God, I didn't know that, you know?
Okay.
And one of the clips that we showed, the industrialers or corporate farming were phenomenal in terms of just putting out how mass-produced our chickens and
sure.
all that kind of stuff is.
Yeah, I just saw a film, Food Inc., where they talked a lot about that, where it was sort of, a lot of times you look at a cornfield and you think, oh, people are just, eating corn with dinner, but in fact they're making corn syrup and all kinds of other things.
So huge.
So a lot of them were surprised to learn things like that? Did they?
Surprised, and I mean, you can run the gamut. You got folks who are already, families have made choices that are counter the industrial agriculture, and then you've got some that's like, oh, I didn't know that, and kind of stuff. So
okay.
It's interesting. There's a gap between what you know and what you do, and so it's a one thing to know, but how do you challenge them to act on it? And,
yeah.
Well,
you certainly wouldn't think of history as something you would put into action. In fact, I tend to think of it as the opposite. It's sort of like you're studying the past, but I think that's a very interesting take to actually get them to put a present-day slant on it.
Well, and what's interesting, in the Minnesota history curriculum, they do a great job in terms of what we're asked to do. The resources aren't focusing on hero worship. They're not war worship.
Right.
They're how did everyday Minnesotans live their lives during these time periods?
Okay.
So then you transfer that and say, how are we living our lives in our time period? And I think especially with the middle school kid, so much of them wants to know my role. What is my part? And the service learning gives them an opportunity to say, yeah, this is my part and I want to make a difference. And I think in the end, we all want to make a difference.
Typically, how many kids do you work with and how many classes a day?
Right now, it's been a little bigger this year. 5 classes a day, 31, 32.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty good load.
That's a good load. I got a couple. I have some in the mid to high 20s, but I have some 34, 35 in that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, can you spend maybe a couple more minutes with us, telling us a little bit more about the work you do there? And again, if you're just tuning in, it's Teacher Feature. Paul Summers is my guest, and he is a 6th grade history teacher over at Susan B. Anthony Middle School right here in Minneapolis. We're always curious to know what you think of the program. Give us drop us a line at jazz88fm.com. And, of course, you can access information about Minneapolis Public Schools right through our website, again, jazz88fm.com. Or with Paul at 21 past 5 o'clock, you're listening to Teacher Feature. And I want to remind you, support for this program comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Our guest in studio for a few more minutes is Paul Summers. And he is teaching history to 6th graders at Susan B. Anthony Middle School in Minneapolis. And we talked a little bit before the traffic break there, Paul, about your focus on service. Do you start out the year talking about that and kind of selling it to the kids, or do you kind of tend to ease them into it, teaching them more traditional history first up, or how does that work for a typical year?
A little of both.
Okay.
We do more kind of get their feet on the ground, and especially 6th grade middle school, you do so much. How do you teach structure? How do you teach all that transition into the middle school setup? Move into the history. And depending on the topic, 1 year we didn't do any service project until spring.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we were being supported by a group called National Youth Leadership Council. And National Youth Leadership Council wants you to do something around Martin Luther King time.
Okay,
so
sure.
We kind of worked towards what are our community needs and community assessment and what do we want to investigate and things like that. So last year was actually interesting. We had two artists, Marilyn Lindstrom and Francis Yellow, two local artists who helped us build a mural.
Oh, neat.
And the year before, they did same artists, excellent folks, build a mosaic on the outside.
You had the kids actually doing the mural themselves?
They walk us through a process of the kids dreaming the mural. And it was interesting because last year's Francis leads us, he's Lakota background,
okay.
And he leads us through a dreaming exercise of what is it your dream, and I think the main three questions ask, who are your people, where are you from, what is your dream? So
okay.
Kids draw those in relation to themselves and what we're studying, and then created a 45-foot mural that's in our media center there.
So they can visualize it before they actually do it.
Absolutely,
okay.
And the year before it was a mosaic that's on the outside.
We did that same thing here a few years back with the jazz mural, and it was amazing to see.
It's outside. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, you probably saw it on your way in. Okay.
The process of that and what you can dream of by yourself and imagining, but when you make a collective, there's so much more ownership, and especially with the kids and the, going back to that, the kids wanting to be a part of something, they're so proud of what they've participated in their school. So, and that funding for that is huge with Academic Arts for Academic Achievement, which we had some, I think there's some money this year, but not quite as much as last year.
Yeah, you're seeing a lot more of that private organizations, doing partnerships with traditional educational atmospheres. Are there more of those that you foresee?
Once you start doing it for a while, folks start saying, we want to help you. Mm-hmm. And I started originally with Eco Education, which is an environmental learning center in a program in St. Paul. And then National Youth Leadership Council invited us to join them last year. And then AAA, Arts for Academic Achievement, has also sponsored some of our work. So
really taking things outside the classroom then, huh?
Well, getting their hands dirty with history and making history.
I like that, getting their hands dirty with history. And it sounds like you're doing things with technology, podcasts, things like that. Of course, you have to do that these days. If they do one of those, is there a place people can see those?
At the Anthony website, we have documented the process from last year's mural making and the different service projects we've done. And part of the National Youth Leadership Grant was a STEM grant, which means you have to include technology into it. So all that's on the Anthony website. And if you go to the Anthony website, there's a place for service learning and one of the side links, I guess. But there's kids' podcasts on there where they talk about what they made and what they think it means. So it's really nice.
All right. Is there any particular area of history that you find universally appealing to kids as they come through, or is it really all over the map? I mean, you talked a little bit about agriculture, a little about Martin Luther King. Is it easy to get them into this stuff? Or?
Wars are always fascinating for boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've got our Dakota conflict that they find a lot of. Fur trade's a big high one on the realm.
Interesting. The Voyageurs and stuff like that?
All that. Okay. They love that kind of stuff. Sometimes the more quirky or gruesome, the more excited sometimes they get, but not always.
Just kind of a little bit, column A, column B, huh?
Exactly. They go all the way across. Yeah, there's pretty much a range of it. But the more active they can be involved, the better.
All right.
I think they like it.
All right. Well, Paul Summers, our teacher feature for this afternoon on Jazz 88. Thank you for coming in. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
More than that, we appreciate the work you're doing with the kids.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you. Teacher feature on Jazz 88. Feedback welcome at studio@jazz88fm.com. Support for this feature comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund on Jazz 88.